Okay, so let's continue here. Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. All right, so you give any thought to the question of the Pircha on Rabbi Tarfon? The Pircha on Rabbi Tarfon. So once again, the Gemara is saying that what's Rabbi Tarfon's question comes down to a question of being a goreim of a what is he going to call it? Goreim lek or davar min haTorah. In other words, let's get it clear. In other words, oker davar min to the masna lek or davar min haTorah would be, like the Rashba explained, would be like a case where he made it such that it would happen, or he made it such that he set up the framework that it would happen within.
Therefore, the get would be bottle.
Right. Not that he would make it, not that it would definitely have to happen, because she doesn't have to go through with the whole get. Because if it would definitely have to happen, that would be like a masna mashkasa b'torah. But he seems like he was saying, if he made the get saying, for instance, you have to marry the brother, and you can't marry this guy, that would be like a masna mashkasa b'torah. So the Gemara says that, but that's not what he's doing. He's not a masna. Not a masna, not a real masna mashka. That would be a masna le'ekor davar min haTorah. In other words, what would be a masna le'ekor davar min haTorah? If you were to say, Hare at negureshes li almenas shetinasi leploni v'shalotinasi lo'achiv. No? In other words, what would be the real case?
That was the Gemara's havamina.
Right. The Gemara's question, are you saying he's a real masne le'ekor? Did he make her marry this guy? Right? But that would be the masne le'ekor. To say, you're divorced from me on condition you marry Reuven and do not marry his brother Shimon. Right? Then he would be setting it up. He'd be setting up this reality that the get can only exist in a reality that Yibum will be precluded from. That Yibum to Shimon will be precluded from. That would be a masna le'ekor. And that would be no good. But the Gemara says he didn't do that. All he did was he was a goreim for a masna le'ekor. He was a goreim le'ekor. Why was he a goreim le'ekor?
Because he didn't say get married to...
Because he didn't say get married to Reuven. He didn't say marry the brother of the one that you can't be married to. So all he did was he set up a reality within which she could choose a reality that would preclude Yibum. So then the Gemara says... That's all you got. Then what about a guy who just marries his niece? Elamiato bas achiv lo yisa. But then, if you're going to tell me that just being a goreim lekor is a problem, so how could a person marry his niece? Shema yomus blo bona v'nimse goreim lekor davar min haTorah. Haynu pircha. Yeah. So, what he tells us, so Rabbi Akiva Eger says in the Gilyon HaShas, says, Lo zachisi lohavin. I don't understand. Wasn't zochet to understand this Gemara. De'eino me'adoma. There's no comparison between the question and the case. De'hasam lo nofelas lefonov li'ibum velo havi akira. Masha'ina kein b'tanai dinofelas lafon of liyibum. Why? What does he mean, Lona fell asleep? And it was over there, there is no Yibum. So there is no Akira. That's the question, right? Hossam, Lona fell asleep. There is no Yibum over there. There's no Yibum to your father. Is that what it would be, the father? Right. There's no Yibum to your father. Because the daughter is going to marry, they're married to your niece. Meaning your father, your brother's daughter. If you marry your brother's daughter, so then, if the husband dies, so then Yibum would be to the husband's brother, which turns out to be her own father, which is impossible. We all good with that? Okay. So, but Rabbi Akiva Eiger is saying there is simply no institution of Yibum like that. She's not a nofelas liyibum. So there's no Akira. But the Tanai is no fellas lefon of Liyibim. She should do Yibim to him. Da haget he tira gam liyavam. Was the get is complete. It matters her even to the Yavam. Ela di'i efshar lo liyabim. Da'oz ye'okir ha'tanai v'yispatel ha'get. K'mo shekosav tosas le'el. De'mehai taima eina poteres tsarasa. Oh, we didn't do that one. Lo dami la'achos eisha isha dekati lo have erva adjetiva ubezeh kevan dezekuko lo v'yafo pikin in yochol liyabe machmas tano zehu havi gram akiras ha-mitzvah v'tzarach li iyan gadol. And he barely writes three words on the thing, so you see he's really trying to get the, but he's bothered more that he's bothered more with the fact that it's not Gorem Leekor, because there's nothing to be ochre. He doesn't like that idea. What do you mean it's a... How do you call it a Gorem Leekor if there is simply no mitzvah? Ochre has to sound more like where there is something and you just can't do it. But regardless, it's a very powerful question. And the Gemara and the Yerushalmi itself has a similar response, right? That over there it's the Torah, here it's him. All right, so I have an approach to this answer. I have an approach to answer the question.
What question?
What the Gemara's question is on the ground. What is the Gemara's question on the Goram Leekor? From marrying your niece. How is the case of marrying your niece a question on Rabbi Tarfon's question on Rabbi Eliezer? Correct? Isn't that what we're stuck with? So the first thing we have to say, I mean, we have to answer the Gilgal HaShas's question. I mean, it's just impossible to maneuver without confronting that question. And that question is that there is no Yibum to the father. It's not, there's no Akira. There's just no Yibum. Right? So what can we say? So we have to say something. Maybe we can try to say it like this: that halachically speaking, Rabbi Akiva Eiger is right. Halachically speaking, there is no institution of there's no halachic institution of Yibum, and there's no halachic oker. But in terms of the idea of Yibum that the Torah expresses, that Yibum is a good thing, it certainly is just as good in the case of the father as it is in the case of anyone else. Shouldn't be good because it was whether the chesed of Yibum is a true chesed doesn't depend on whether on who you marry to, right? So there is an idea that this woman, there is an idea that he is in some sense being deprived of a tov of Yibum. Okay. Right. In other words, we say that if a person dies without children, so it's considered a good thing for his brother to take over his household, basically, right? To take his widow. Consider the good thing for the brother's widow for the brother to marry his brother's widow and have children in his honor, his memory, his chus, whatever the idea might be. Correct? Now that, of course, is objectively considered a good. So just because, halachically speaking, there's no institution of yibum when the woman is an erva to the brother, that doesn't mean there's no good. That doesn't mean that there's no idea that yibum would have been a benefit to this person in the same sense that it would have been a benefit to anybody. Right? It's just halachically excluded, but not, so to speak, philosophically excluded. Okay? So the Gemara's argument is, so maybe the Gemara's argument is like this, saying that you're not talking about a real halachic problem of a masne lekor. That would be a halachic problem of actually doing creating a situation that itself is against a mitzvah in the Torah. Now, as if you were really a masne lekor, then you would be setting up in your get a character within the get itself of being oker davar min haTorah, because the get itself, its very existence would require a situation that precludes yibum. That would be a good question, because it would be against the halachic institution, the halachic institution of yibum. Correct? But the Gemara is saying Rabbi Tarfon it doesn't have a question of that caliber, because the get itself doesn't require the reality of excluding yibum, because she doesn't have to marry the brother. So all you can say is that the get sets up circumstances that allow her to choose a situation that yibum becomes impossible. You can't call that an intrinsic halachic characteristic in the get itself anymore. All you can say is that in a certain sense it undercuts an idea of yibum. It doesn't demand a negation of the institution, but it undercuts in a certain sense the idea of yibum. But the Gemara says, but in that regard, the Torah itself does that. The Torah itself has situations that the value of yibum is impossible. So you can't tell me that we can't have a get that undermines the sanctity of the institution of yibum, because the Torah itself does that. As you're trying to bring to me an argument, now, as if it was a masne le'ekor, then it would be a halachic problem in yibum. If it's just a goreim, so then you're just telling me it has this potential, and that's not right, because the potential itself is an affront to a value in the Torah. More like a philosophical problem. But you can't say there's a philosophical problem of undermining yibum, because there are cases where the Torah itself allows you to enter in situations that undermine the sanctity of yibum. Chalitza is not a kiyum of yibum. Chalitza is not a kiyum of yibum. Chalitza exists to get out of yibum. The whole institution of chalitza is intended to be a degrading process, because he wouldn't engage in yibum. That's the whole ikar of chalitza. She takes off his shoe, which is a emasculating type of a, you know, she's sort of like demeaning him, controlling him, and then she spits. And then the whole congregation, everyone says, There's a whole amira there. This is what happens to a guy who doesn't do it, who doesn't want to, who doesn't care about his brother's family. And then they all say base chaltanal. The whole thing is designed. I think the Ram explains it in the Mor. The whole thing is designed to encourage someone to do yibum. It's not like there's a choice. It's not like a mitzvah that gives you a choice. You don't have mitzvahs like that. Mitzvahs don't give choices.
You're not governed by common sense.
It really is a mitzvah of yibum, but there is a you can be mafkia the zika from chalita, but it's designed for yibum. If there was no yibum, there's no chalita. That's what we say. If there's no yibum, there's no chalita. So to say the Torah gave you a way to not do the yibum, because the Gemara says that the chachamim counsel them, and they say you're not a good match. Sometimes they say you're not a good match, and they say in this case it's better not to. So the flexibility is built into the system. But like if the woman is very old and the guy is very young, or something, or vice versa, so the zakenim will say don't do it, not a good idea. But to make it impossible to do yibum, that's not what chalitza is. Chalitza is not an institution that makes it impossible to do yibum. So you're making it impossible to do yibum. So that's like a gorim le'ekor. That's a gorim le'ekor. All right, let's think it over a little bit. Right? Now, just to state it again. Now I'm trying to say that the masne le'ekor would be a halachic problem. That the get itself is really halachically interfering with the halacha of yibum, because it's actually demanding a hafkah of a definite potential yibum. Okay, right. That's not a contradictory term, right? But now the Gemara is talking about a goreim, so it's just saying that it's not a halachic problem of a halachic, there's no definitive halachic yibum that this get you can say is acting upon. So then you'll just say it's creating a circumstance that undermines the sanctity of the yibum. It's creating a circumstance that has the possibility that yibum will not occur. And so that's it's allowing her to make a choice that will remove the potential of the zechus of yibum to the brother. It says, but that zechus of yibum is not an inviolable right in the Torah, because if it was an inviolable right and it meant every man must have the ability to do yibum, then the Torah wouldn't have let a man marry his niece. So you see, the Torah itself doesn't have a philosophical problem with saying that there are certain circumstances that could prevent you can't say there's a philosophy in the Torah that says there's an inviolable right to yibum. So all his get is doing is setting up a circumstance like that. That itself expresses the possibility that a choice could be made that would undermine the yibum. But that's not a halachic problem. That would be more like a philosophical problem. And you see, you can't say there's a philosophy like that in the Torah, based on the ability to marry your niece. So what's the Yerushalmi's answer? Still exactly, the Yerushalmi stays in the halachic framework. He's saying, but a little bit sharper.
So what's
because the, then any goyim would not be a problem.
Right.
But it means to say you can't derive a philosophical idea from the halacha like that. Mm-hmm. All you can say is, this is the halachic system. These are the way it works out. And you can't generalize a philosophical ideal from that and say, therefore, there's no, there might be certain reasons why it's important for a man to marry his niece, and maybe that overrides the other thing. But you can't now make a generalized statement and say, you see, there's no idea that yibum should always be possible.
So Rabbi Tarfon, this question is not that...
Let me tell you why I think I'm right, okay? Because there's a major problem over here. There's a major inequality that's lurking in this whole question. Okay. It seems like, yeah. What?
Gershon versus Kedushin.
Yeah, yeah, basically. In other words, all Rabbi Tarfon's case is that his divorce will set up a situation that allows the woman to marry someone that she can't do yibum to.
Right.
So his get is a goreim, right? But the Gemara's question is, how can you marry your niece? But that's not a goreim. Marrying your niece is itself a masna leakor. Right? Because once you marry your niece, you absolutely prevented the yibum. So why is the question from marrying the niece, which is a real masna case, onto the goreim case? Right? So you hear what my answer is. My answer is, it's the Torah that they're trying to show you about. The Torah is the goreim of this guy being allowed to marry his niece.
Right.
So you see, from Torah, there's no problem of being a goreim. Because the philosophy of you can't tell me that this get is an affront to the philosophy of Torah, because how could you be a goreim that sets up an idea that makes yibum not a number one priority? How could your get have the flavor that it doesn't endorse yibum? So you say, yeah, but the Torah also has that flavor that doesn't endorse yibum, because the Torah itself allows you to marry your niece. It's not a question on how can a guy marry his niece.
Right.
It's a question on the Torah itself. I can show you from the fact that the halacha says you can marry your niece, that there's no overriding philosophy in halacha that says we must 100% endorse yibum and at lengths make sure that it can happen. So what do you want with me? Rabbi Eliezer says, my get has to be more in support of yibum than the Torah is. Does the Torah allow situations that will prevent yibum? Yes, so does my get. So you're going to say that makes it out of line with the philosophy of Torah? Not possible. That's the question on the question.
That's our Gemara's question.
That's our Gemara's pircha on Rabbi Tarfon's answer.
Right.
On Rabbi Tarfon's question. So the Gemara, so the Yerushalmi's answer is that you can't. The Yerushalmi's answer is no. Over there, the Torah is the one that says you can't marry her, right? But what is that answer? So we're saying maybe the Yerushalmi's answer is that that is built into the halachic system, that yibum, that to marry your niece is halachically permissible, and that itself might be an overriding factor in terms of negating the yibum. But just stop to negate yibum, you don't see. You can't prove from the Torah that there's a generalized idea of negating yibum, that every negation of yibum in the Torah is halachically mandated. That doesn't show this is a general idea of negating yibum. It's just an impossible thing to prove. Right? Intrinsically, it's impossible to prove. You cannot prove from the halachic system a generalized freewheeling right. Because all you can show in the halachic system is halachic rights. That doesn't, you can't extrapolate out from that. It's a very good argument. Still is a good argument. Yerushalmi still has the last word, I think. Alright, I think that's good. Now let's go on. Let's take the next case. I mean the continuation of the Gemara. So now the Gemara says like this. Ubamai. Okay. So now we want to know what shita b'mai muki Rabbi Tarfon plugs to Rabbi Lezer Abana.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, it seems the Gemara is trying to keep track of who holds almanas and who holds chutz.
I'm just saying, in this particular case, it doesn't really matter if Rabbi Tarfon's question is irrelevant.
Okay.
There is a big difference, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he says like this. Ilema b'chutz mishra shari Rabbi Eliezer. And this is where we see an amazing fact in Rabbi Eliezer's Shita that was hidden until now. That what? If he's learning that Rabbi Eliezer holds that chutz works. In other words, the machlokas is chutz. One more time. Chutz means a rei at migureshes li chutz mitoni. It's not a tanai. That is the get itself. The woman remains an eshes ish to ploni. Amanas, she's a complete penuya the whole time. And I mean, she's a migureshes to everybody, even to ploni. It's just, it's a trigger. Marrying him is a trigger to be mevatel the get. But if you learn chutz, it means the get was never affected with regards to ploni. Okay? And she was an eshes ish. Like Rabbi Akiva's whole argument. So if you're going to say that, but here's a problem. Because if you hold chutz, it turns out that this problem would never arise. Why? Rashi, if he hails from chutz, mishra shari lo Rabbi Eliezer, she would be allowed, lehisyabim lo, she would be allowed to do the ibum. Me'acha sheniseis la'acher v'nosko me'ishas harishon ligamri. Amazing, amazing fact. That the Gemara is saying, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if he says you are mutter to everybody except Ploni, and then she marries someone else, then she'd be allowed to marry Ploni. Why?
Wait. What?
According to Rabbi Eliezer, when the man says you are mutter to everybody except for Ploni, and then she marries someone else who she's allowed to marry, that marriage to someone else will break the Isser to Ploni.
How is that so?
That is what we have to figure out. So Rashi says, he tries to give an explanation. Me'acha shaniseis la'acher, since she marries someone else, v'nosko me'ishas harishon legamri, she has been removed or broken from the original ishas completely. Right? So therefore, he can't be learning chutz. Now, how do we know this? D'tanya moda Rabbi Eliezer b'megarishes ishto v'amar lo harei amateres chodam chutz miploni. Rabbi Eliezer, the Brisa says that Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if someone divorces his wife and he gives her the chutz miploni v'holcha v'nisis le'echa min hashuk, and she marries a stranger, just a regular guy, Vinnis Almala onis Garsha, and then she is widowed or divorced from him. Shemutaris Lizeshanes Chutz. Because if he was learning chutz, he simply would have no question. Right? Ella Balmanas Mukila. The cave and the Tanahu Velo Iskayim Nimsa get bottle mafreya vakaim of Israelis. So that's how Tanai is more powerful in a certain sense than chutz, because the Tanai is simply just an extraneous thing, and she's divorced completely from him right away, and whenever this Tanai occurs, we're about to all get. So it doesn't matter if she marries someone in between. It's not going to nullify the Tanai. Yeah. But the question is, what is this idea that the chutz doesn't last through another marriage? I mean, didn't we say she's like an Ashes Ish to it's hard to understand. It requires some thought. If we really took it seriously, what we said before, that the get simply doesn't apply to this guy, so then she was never divorced. So why because she marries another guy does she become divorced all of a sudden? Now Tosos. So there are two Tosfos over here that deal with this question. It's interesting. The Lashon of Tosfos and Ilema is interesting because it's almost exactly like the Lashon of the Rashba. So he says, Ilema b'chutz l'Rabbi Eliezer mishra shari. Why? The taima, what's the reason? Kevan shenoso ze shehutra lo. Since she marries this one who she's mutter to, nistroken lo kol ha'ishas, funny expression. What does it mean? Nisroken lo kol ishus. Nisroken lo kol ishus. It has the meaning of being like emptied out into him. Like all the ishus of the first guy gets poured into the second guy. Upoka ishus shel rishon legamri. Rashi all, I mean, similar. Rashi similar. V'nosko me ishus rishon legamri. That's two things. But let's take a look back. Now, the interesting thing is the Rashba asks a very good question. Now, the Rashba's question is a very good question of him. He says, he has a logical question. He says, how do we know that Rabbi Tarfon holds like this Brisa about Rabbi Eliezer? We didn't know if he's learning like the Mishnah or like the Brisa in terms of Chutzar Almanas. So he's a Tana. He's free to have his own positions, right? So how do we know that he has to agree that if you hold from Chutz, you have to agree that Rabbi Eliezer would say this? Maybe he doesn't agree with this Tana. So that's why he wants to say that this Braisa is just a pure Svara. It's not like coming as a Shita. It's just everybody has to agree with this Svara. I mean, he goes back and forth on this, but that's his first shot. So it means it's a serious, means if you understand Rabbi Eliezer, you must come to this conclusion. Okay, but let's take one more piece of the puzzle here. Yeah, I decided to wait to not do this Tosfos in the right order and wait. We say I saved it for now. So let's just do a quick refresh over here. Quick refresher. We were doing on Peg Bays, on the Bays, the Gemara was asking the question, if a person marries by Nisuin, by Kiddushin, can you do Chutz according to Rabbi Eliezer? Okay. So the Gemara says, what would the case be? So it says like this, Kigon. Kigon Shebar Ruvain Vikidsha Chutz Mishimon. Right? This is the Eishes Shnei Mason, right?
That's what the Kigon is going on.
Right. Kigon Shebar, yeah, we skipped this part actually. Kigon Shebar Ruvain Vikidsha Chutz Mishimon. So Ruvain married her with a Chutz for Shimon. No, Stam guy. Uba Shimon Vikidsha Stam. Yeah. And then Shimon came along and married her Stam. Okay. Because the Gemara said if he didn't marry her, if he married her to the exclusion of Ruvain, then the Gemara says, well, nothing, that wouldn't have been anything. There's nothing, his Kedushin wouldn't have done anything. But his Kedushin has to do something. So he has to marry her Stam and now make Shimon also. I mean, make Ruvain aser. Okay? So that's what the Gemara says. Dikidushe Ruvain ahanu le misra a'alma. The first Kiddushin makes her aser to everybody, except Shimon. Vikidushe Shimon ahanu le misra Ruvain. And then the second, then Shimon's Nisuin makes her aser to Ruvain. So each one gets in there. Each one gets in the door. Okay? So now Tosfos has a very powerful question. It says, Tamo Stam. Amai lo poka ishus de Ruvain. So why doesn't that automatically knock off Ruvain's ishus? Mai shno meharea muteres l'chol odom chutz miploni v'nises la'acher umeis de poka ishus rishon umuteres l'zesh nesra olav. Says how in other words, when you divorce somebody and you say chutz miploni, so that means your ishus is intact with regards to ploni, right? But yet we say even though your ishus is intact with regards to ploni, since someone else marries her, that knocks off your ishus. So why don't we say the same thing over here? He married her. So in terms of him and the rest, in terms of everyone else, he has a status of she has a status of married to him. But once, it always sounds like the last guy's ishus is mafkia the earlier guy's ishus. Vein svar lechalik mishum tasam havishir muat upaka. Doesn't make sense to say because over there was just one guy that was left, and it's smaller amount. Doesn't matter if the idea is that Rabbi Eliezer only tolerates the final chalos of the kedushin, and the final chalos is mafkia the earlier ones. How could you ever have chutz mishimon, and then Shimon marries Estam, and she'll be eishes shnei anashim? V'yesh lomar dehasam begerishin kevan shehischil naska. Now he goes to Rashi terminology. Since by gerishin he started to break it off, al yedei shenises la'acha minasako legamri. See, there's a little bit of a different way of explaining it here than over there. So over there, he started breaking the relationship. So now, by marrying another guy, that's a complete break of the relationship.
Who started
the husband. Yeah, when he gave her the get chutz miploni, that was the beginning of the breakup. He left a little off. So the next guy's marriage will complete it. Of Al-Hacha, Sheba Lekadsha. But here he's marrying her. Not going to destroy a marriage. But we obviously have a lot to think about.
How do you call a krisis then if it's not a full break?
He doesn't need a full krisis, Rabbi Eliezer. He doesn't need full krisis.